There were some guys that were aware that some very cool things were happening. Just like Merritt was talking about in our 24/7 prayer, we immediately see the power of the Spirit manifested in our service. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, there were some guys that had, there was just amazing stuff happening. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul so that the handkerchiefs or aprons were carried by his body to the sick and the diseases left him and the spirits went out. That's pretty amazing stuff, right? That Paul, just extraordinary stuff was happening in the ministry of Paul and some of the other disciples. So they're even taking anything that touched his body and people were getting healed as a result. Now imagine you hear about a revival like that, right? And you're hearing about all this stuff's happening and you understand that Paul is preaching and praying in the name of Jesus. So some guys who were Jews, faithful Jews, and they were used to doing exorcisms. People who were involved in some kind of bondage to an evil spirit, they were exorcists. And they didn't use the name of Jesus, they used the name of God to do their exorcism. And they hear about what Paul's doing. So this is what the scripture says. I don't need you to turn here. Some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus who Paul preaches." That is, they came to these folks and they said, "All right, what we're going to do is it works for them, it'll work for us." And they would go to these people who were had problems with evil spirits and say, "In the name of Jesus, you come out," basically. "I adjure you, I command you in the name of Jesus." Cool. Except they got terrible results. Seven sons of one Siva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said, "I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and beat him up. Actually, that's my translation. It said, "Subdued all of them and overpowered them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Imagine the journal story about that, you know. Seven naked guys flee, some exorcists running away. Well, we're going to talk about the name of Jesus today. And that particular story is a great lead-in to what we want to talk about. The name of Jesus is not a magical formula. You can't just take the name of Jesus and say it and expect that something's going to happen. It's not a magic formula. It's not a punctuation mark for prayer. You don't pray and then say, "Oh, by the way, in Jesus' name." Like it's the last thing you got to stick on the end, like an exclamation part. It's not given to us to use in a casual, thoughtless, or routine manner. And all too often, when we pray and then we just say, "In Jesus' name," it's an afterthought. It's just something we stick on the end. It's a punctuation mark. Or we use it, something is like, "Yeah, if I do it this way, then that gives us some kind of power." The story in the book of Acts tells us that's just not the way it is. The name of Jesus is not to be used in that manner. Now I'd like you to turn to John 16. John 16, Jesus is talking to the disciples about what's coming up. And he's telling them that the Holy Spirit's coming. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Do you like the choir opening with that song about "Baptize me in the Holy Ghost"? Amen. How many of us need to be baptized every day in the Holy Spirit? Well, that would be all of us. We can't even understand spiritual life unless the Holy Spirit is in us and working in us. He's telling him the Holy Spirit's coming. He said, "Don't be afraid. He's going to be doing his work." He says, "There's coming a day when I'm going to be gone, but then I'm going to come back again." And he says in verse 23, "In that day," the day when he comes back, the day when after his resurrection, "in that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you." And that's Jesus' way of saying, pay very close attention. Listen up. If I got all your attention, hey, listen to me. I taught the high school Bible class, one of the Bible classes this week in relief of our teachers. And a couple of times I had to say, hey, hey, me, not your friend. Right? And to their credit, they said, yes, sir. Helped that I had that stun gun, too. No, I didn't. I don't want that word to go out. Do you know if you have to use a stun gun, you don't really have any authority, right? Truly, truly, I say to you, pay very careful attention. If you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy will be made full. In what day? After the resurrection. Right now, until he comes again. Jesus said, ask in my name and I'll give you anything. Isn't that the coolest thing? Jesus says, ask in my name. Now, yeah, you're right. It isn't quite that simple because there's some context to this. But I want you to get the main thing. Jesus says, I am giving you my name to use. Not as a punctuation mark, not as a magical incantation, not in a caught, thoughtless, or careless manner, but I'm giving you the power of my name to use in your life from this day forward until I come again. We're living in that day. This verse applies to us right now. This is very cool. I was hoping to have a police officer here, but our Greg Prey had to work today. But if you were driving in Davison, Michigan, and you were driving too fast, something might happen to you. In fact, I challenge you to try it. Just to prove my point, there will be little lights go on, and a special car will stop you, and the officer will come to talk to you about your behavior. Can he do that? Yes. He can do it because he identifies himself, what? As an officer of the court that has the power to punish, who has the power to enforce the laws that have been agreed upon by those who have been selected to make those laws. Can I hear an amen? Amen. There is the authority of the state and the community behind everyone who is officially wearing that badge and carrying out on duty their function. They have the power to stop us and to ask what we're doing. I got stopped in Davison a couple of years ago. And the officer said, you know why I stopped you? And I said, I have no idea. And he said, no, I didn't have any idea. But my license plates were expired. Yeah. Don't want to talk about it. You know, they charge you a lot of money for not doing that. Yeah. Not only that, the police officer, if he suspects that you have done something bad, they can take your stuff. Isn't that right? Under certain circumstances, if you're detained and they think that you have committed a crime, guess what they can do? They can take your stuff. Not only can they take your stuff, what else can they take? You! They can take you, and we love those shows, right? When other people are being arrested and taken away. Can the officer come and make someone leave a place? Can they make you leave a certain place? Yeah. And if you don't, they will take you away. See, the officer of the law has power. Now, imagine that Greg Prey is here in church. And you're minding your own business, drinking a cup of coffee in the foyer. You're not in the sanctuary where it's illegal to drink coffee. You know, you wouldn't want to do that, right? You would never want to do that. Everyone's hiding their coffee that has brought it in. Yeah, and now we're fighting over water bottle tops and stuff. And Greg Prey walks up to you and he says, give me that coffee, you're under arrest. Can he do that? He can try. Will it carry any weight? Will the city of Davison stand behind his action? No. Will I stand behind his action? Maybe. No. Right? Because there is a certain sort of set of circumstances that gives him the authority to do those kinds of things. Right? You have to be violating the law. You have to be in his jurisdiction, and he has to be on duty. Right? Police officers, however, are charged with the responsibility to help and to save and to do stuff, no whether on duty or not. But basically, it has to be where he is empowered to act. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If I'm empowered to act or authorized to act in another's name, I must do it as an agent of that person. Just like Greg is an agent of the city of Davison, if you're empowered or I'm empowered to act, we must do it as an agent for that other person. Sometimes I am empowered as an agent of this congregation. We go to do a business deal of some sort. When we built the Children's Ministry Center, we secured a loan from a bank. And they put the building under a mortgage, and there had to be people signed. Guess what I had to have? I had to have, number one, a copy of the vote of the congregation to do that. And I had to have authorization from the trustees, a resolution with signatures from the secretary treasurer, in order for them to accept my signature. And my signature only allowed me to borrow money for the church, not for myself. Right? I was acting as an agent of the church only. There was a scope of what I was able to do. I act as an agent. I couldn't represent myself. I was only representing us. A lawyer represents the interests of his clients. And if he begins to represent his own interests, he can be disqualified and he can be punished. A realtor represents the interests of the owner. An ambassador speaks only on behalf of the country that he represents. Ken Collins put it this way, taking this idea and applying it to Jesus' name. If you do something in Jesus' name, it means you do it with the authority he gave you and not on your own authority. That you act within the limits of your authorization, whatever those limits may be. You act as his agent in his stead, to his credit and for his benefit. You have no benefit from your deeds except his thanks and whatever reward he chooses to give you. In other words, to ask in Jesus' name is to ask for his purpose and in his interests. Just like he said, your kingdom come, your will be done, as Jesus taught us to pray. When we pray, that's the scope of our prayer. That's the area in which we have authorization, in which we have authority is what? Your kingdom come, Lord Jesus. Your will be established in the earth. Lord, I want to see your rule made known in the people around me, in the world around me. And I want to see, Lord God, your will accomplished in me and all the people around me. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Well, what happened between the call and the commission of the disciples? In Luke chapter 6, Jesus goes up in the mountain. He prays all night, like what we've been doing. He prays all night. He comes down. He picks out 12 of the guys who have been following. He picks out 12 of them and says, you're going to be my special messengers. Called them apostles or messengers. And so he's calling for them. He calls the 12. And then three chapters later, he says, I want you to go two by two, and I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cast out devils. I want you to preach the gospel, which has to do with the good news of Jesus Christ coming as the King. I want you to preach those things, and I want to send you out. He said, trust in God. Do the things that I'm sending you to do, and trust me to provide for you when you do these things. Well, what happened between the time he called them and drawn to himself, and when he sent them out to do things? Well, these are the things I looked between these two chapters. This is what happened. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He taught about the reality of the kingdom of God. He healed the centurion's servant with just a command. He raised the widow's son from the dead. Responded to John the Baptist's inquiries about was he the Messiah or was there another one coming. He taught about John's ministry and his own and how they both were being received. He taught about forgiveness, about the miraculous work of God in the earth through himself. He stilled the sea, calmed the waves. He cast out devils from the Gerasene demoniac, threw them into the pigs that drowned themselves. He healed the woman with the chronic bleeding, and he raised the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue officials. He raised her daughter from the dead. Two resurrections, One miracle over nature, a mere multitude of healings, many delivered from demons, lots of instruction about the kingdom of God. Between the time he called them and he sent them, they saw all these things, they participated in these things, they heard him teach about the kingdom of God. Then Jesus says, now you go and do it. Now you go and do the same thing. And what happened? They went and did it. And when they came back, they were juiced. I said, you can't believe what's been happening. Actually, he could, but you know, yeah, because he'd been doing it all along. They heard him teach. They saw him act. They got the commission. And what was the commission? Give the same teaching and do the same acts. Trust in God for the same purpose, to make the kingdom known. They acted on his behalf. And then Jesus, before his crucifixion and his resurrection, he said, when I'm resurrected, ask in my name. Go out and do it as my agent. I won't be here anymore, but I am commissioning you to do the same stuff for the same purpose. I had proposed to my wife, and she had accepted. And I had talked to her parents, and there was a condition. Sharon was driving a little Volkswagen. Was it a Super Beetle? She was driving a Super Beetle, and they made me a great deal. They said, here's the condition. You have to buy the car in order to get the girl that goes with the car. But that was a good deal, because they're only asking me, and thanks, Mom, I only had to pay off what they owed. So really, you know, they were really giving me a car. But, you know, it was a small amount of money that was off on it. And I didn't have a lot of cash, and I didn't want to spend it all on the car. So I thought, well, I got more than that in the bank, but I don't want to start out life with not much, married life. So I thought, I'll go to the Clio State Bank, when there was such an entity, and I'll ask for a loan. That's where I'd done my banking. I grew up there. My grandfather had been president of the bank. My dad was a trustee of the bank. I thought it was kind of a no-brainer. So I went in and I applied for a loan. And I turned in the paper, and the guy made me sit outside for a while. I went through the paperwork and whatnot. And then, you know, I'm working. I got more money than what I'm asking for in the bank, right? And the guy's looking, and he's hammering and hawing, and suddenly it dawns on me, he's going to say no. Then he puts it down, and he says, well, you know, how long you been working there? You know, where were you before? New Zealand? Why were you there? You know, what did you do there? Odd jobs? You know, what he's thinking is, there's a vagrant in my office. You know, he's just gets wherever the wind blows, that's where he goes. And the wind's going to blow, and he's going to be gone, and we're going to be out the money. Looking back, I might have refused myself. You know? But then he says, now, are you any relation to Lee? That's my dad. I said, yeah, I'm his second son. Really? I said, yeah, what's your brother's name? Glenn. You know, he went through that thing to make sure I was not just blowing smoke. I said, yeah, my grandfather was the president of this bank. My dad sits on the trustees. He said, then why did you even fill out this application? Well, quite frankly, I was a little upset by that. I thought, really? You'll loan me money on my dad's name, but not on my own? But listen, that's the beauty of Jesus' name. God doesn't answer our prayers because of us. We're vagrants. The wind blows, and you know, think about when you pray, too often you make reference, too often we make reference to our own lives. And when we're praying like that and asking God to break the power of evil spirits over a person, or we're asking God to heal, or we're asking God to provide or to forgive sin or to bring someone into the kingdom, too often we're making reference to us and we think, but I didn't do well this week or today. I've said things, I've felt things, I've done things that just don't measure up to Jesus. And Jesus says, You're not asking in your name. You're not asking for yourself. You ain't got any power anyway. He said, I authorize you to use my name. And the power of my name, the fact that I lived a sinless life, the fact that I gave myself and suffered and died, the fact that I allowed myself to be hung on that tree and gave her every last ounce of life and laid it down, and then I was raised from the dead in complete and final victory over every evil spirit, over everything that would twist and distort what I came to do. And I'm giving you that power to use to accomplish my purpose in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. And so when we come in Jesus' name, and our heart is to say, God, I want to see your kingdom established. I want to see your rule come in and destroy the works of darkness in people's lives. God, I want to see those that are suffering. I want to see them relieved from their suffering. God, I want to see everything that's been twisted and distorted made right and made whole. God, when we come, we can use the name of Jesus, and he will give us anything we ask on that basis. He said, come, I'm authorizing you. I am sending you to use my name in the earth. We need to use his name. We need to stop coming on the basis of our own righteousness. We need to stop thinking about it in terms of, have I been a good little boy or girl? It's important that we live lives that give credit to Jesus, but that's not the basis by which Jesus has sent us to do it. It is the basis of what he has done and continues to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus a little later says this as he's praying. He's praying to the Father for the disciples, and he says to the Father, I have manifested your name. I have manifested your name. What does that mean? I have taken something that's an idea and I have put flesh on it. I made people see what it looks like. I've taken your name and I've applied it to life situations while with him. What did he do? He healed. Why did he heal? Because his name is Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He is the one who heals. The Lord, your healer. And he said, I manifested that. I brought your character and your purpose and your life, and I applied it into people's lives. And they saw who you were. You're the healer. He said, your name means I am the deliverer. And I have come where sin had come and crunched people and locked them in evil and bondage and the power of evil spirits and got a hold of them. And I said, be gone. And your name was known. You're the one that brought your people out of bondage. You are Jehovah, the deliverer. Said, I came into things where there was nothing and I brought it into being. I took the very nature and I said, wind, stop, waves, quit. And they did. Why? He says, because your name is Creator. You rule over all the creation, not just the human people, not just the evil spirits, but over the trees and the wind and the waves, and the whole universe bows down to your name. You are the Creator. I've manifested your name. I came to situations and I brought peace to them. By saying, my son, your sins are forgiven. Because why? You're Jehovah Shalom. And you're the one that brings peace between God and man. He said, I came and I taught about the kingdom of God. And I said, you've heard it was said this, but I tell you, this is what it's really like. Why? Because you're Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And you're rebuilding people. According to your ways, according to the ways things really are. I've manifested your name as provider, as sanctifier, and I've given them life. When I ran into death, I would say, raise them up, and they would come to life. When we pray in Jesus' name, we invoke his character, the character of God himself, and the provision that he has made simply by asking in his name. We demonstrate our Heavenly Father's family identity, that we belong to him, that we're part of his family, and we have a great heritage. And we begin to see the the dominion of darkness broken and the life of God made known in our present world. Hallelujah. See, the church is not just a place that we come to worship, although it is that. We are the people in which God has invested his name with. We are his agents. We are his representatives. And he said, ask in my name. Not ask for every little whim that you have. Not ask for anything that just floats through your head. But when you see things that aren't right, that don't correspond to thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus has given us the power of his name to get in there and say, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I am going to pray in Jesus' name. I am going to command in Jesus' name. I'm going to speak in Jesus' name. And it's effective because you have a real and living connection with God the Father through the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ his Son. The seven sons of Sceva thought they could just go out and attach it to themselves and make it personal to them, that they could just act independently. It doesn't work that way. It works because we have a definite personal connection with God, so that when God looks down, or when the evil spirits look, they say, I know Jesus and I know Paul and I know that one too. He's connected to the best high God in heaven. I am out of here. Yeah. Amen. Because we have a personal connection, that he has invested us with his Spirit, and he's given us not only permission, but he's given us the authority and the command. Go ask in my name. I want to work through you to make my will come. I want to make my kingdom known among this place. And we're it. There's no plan B. There's not the next generation coming along to make it better. It's us. Amen. Our community is seen as, you know, kind of ground zero for bad things. And I think it's ground zero for the name of Jesus to be active. And God has planted us here. And what better place to be than right here to see the power of darkness broken and see life come to people who have had no hope. And then they can say, that may not be any different economically, but I have a hope that goes beyond any of those things. Because my sin's been forgiven, I've been cleansed, and I found a way of living that's real and right and corresponds to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's stand, please. Father, I thank you that you have empowered us all. God, and you spoke to us, Lord, and God said, in your name. And Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that you are commissioning us all over again and renewing us, Lord, that we can ask in the name of Jesus. Manifesting your healing, Lord God, your deliverance, your forgiveness, your peace. Your ability, Lord God, to enter into every dark and twisted situation and untangle it. Every broken relationship and begin to bring healing, Lord, and rebuilding. Every life that's been damaged and diminished, God, to bring sprouts of life and hope, peace, and joy. We thank you, Lord God, that you're able and willing, and you've sent us.